Jim heard the signal, the soft liquid call of a nightbird, so convincing that he hoped that it was indeed the little man and not a real bird that had uttered it. "No going back now." He swung up onto Drumfire's back. The stallion needed no urging. His nerves were raw, and as he felt Jim's heels, he started forward. The carcass of the lioness, half disemboweled, her reeking guts hanging out of the cavity, slithered after him, and Drumfire could stand it no longer. At full tilt, he tore into the sleeping camp, and on his back, Jim was howling, gibbering, and waving his hat over his head. Buckart leapt out of the darkness on the far side, grunting and roaring at an incredible volume for such a small frame. It was a perfect imitation of the beast. Corporal Richter, half asleep, staggered to his feet and fired his musket at Jim as he charged past. The ball missed Drumfire, but hit one of the horses tethered in the lines, shattering its front leg. The animal screamed and plunged, snapping its weakened halter rope, then fell and rolled on its back, kicking in the air. The other troopers woke and snatched up their muskets. The panic was contagious, and they blazed away at imaginary lions and attackers, shouting challenges and orders. "It's der Cockney bastard!" Keezer bellowed. "There he is! Shoot him! Don't let him get away!" The horses were bombarded with shouts and screams and roars by blasts of gunfire, and finally by the terrifying scent of the lion blood and guts. On the previous night they'd been attacked repeatedly by the lion pride, and that memory was still vivid. They could stand no more. They fought their head ropes, kicking, rearing, and whinnying with terror. One after another the ropes snapped and the horses were free. They wheeled away and thundered out of the camp in a solid bunch, heading downwind. Close behind them rode Jim on Drumfire. Buckart darted out of the shadows and seized one of his stirrup leathers. While Drumfire carried him along, Buckart was still roaring like a ravening lion. In their dust ran Caser and his troops, bellowing with rage and firing as fast as they were able to reload. "Stop them!" Caser howled. "They've got the horses! Stop them!" He tripped over a rock and fell to his knees, gasping for breath, his heart pounding as though it were about to burst. He stared after the vanishing herd, and the import of his predicament struck him with full force. He and his men were stranded in trackless mountainous terrain, at least 10 days' march from civilization. Their supplies were severely depleted, even those they would not be able to carry with them. "Swine!" he shouted. "I will get you, Jim Courtney. I will not rest until I see you swinging on the gibbet, until I see the maggots filling your skull and dribbling out of your eye sockets. I swear by all that is holy, and may God be my witness." The runaway horses kept bunched together, and Jim herded them along. He cut the rope on which he was towing the lioness and left her carcass behind. Glad to be rid of his odorous burden, Drumfire calmed down at once. Within a mile, the running herd dropped from a gallop to a canter, but Jim kept them moving steadily. Within an hour, he knew that none of the troopers, shod as they were and carrying their weapons and equipment, could overhaul them. He slowed down to a steady trot, a pace they could keep up for hours.